Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 8. Edited by Rachel Kramer Bussell. Narrated by Kat Riley. Introduction. Let's play. Welcome to Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 8. I chose the theme of play because sex and desire have so many elements of playfulness. I wanted to see where these authors could take that playfulness in the name of turning readers on. As you're about to hear, the word play can have many meanings. The characters here play music, play sex games, play with gender, play with fetishes, dress up for LARPing, enjoy outdoor sex, and so much more. They play with each other, they play with their own ideas of how to get off, and they play with their relationships. They ignite passion with strangers and rekindle the flames with longtime partners. They have threesomes and go on sex vacations and create their own very personal sex toys. In the opening story, Until the Last Note Plays by Rilsey Adams, exes Sage and Garrick reunite after 6 years and find a very intimate way to work through their issues. Adams writes, "She kissed him like she could find the answer to all of life's burning questions on his tongue." The sparks continue to fly in the next 20 stories, whether in a forbidden rendezvous in the audience of a theater in Eva Lee's The Devil Take You, or in an erotic adventure that unlocks untold pleasures in Diva Darling's Frenzy. In Soma Midwinter's character work, Jeannie and Alex see if the roles they play on stage can continue when it comes to getting naked backstage. You'll discover the thrill of a couple's exploration in It Feels Good by Claire London, and the sexual excitement of meeting an online partner, who may or may not be what they seem, in How Real Are You? By Christina Barry. You'll also travel to a planet far, far away in Robin Lovett's Out of This World, and discover some paranormal eroticism in Fiona Zetti's Whenever You Need Me, and Kat Giraldo's Checkmate. There's also plenty of BDSM here, as in the kinky game in Julie Fennell's femdom story So Many Ways to Win, and the bondage delights in P. Stormcrow's The Mid-Autumn Moon. Within this book, couples discover new aspects of their most personal, sensual selves in stories such as Ruby Lang's Happy Now and Rosanna Leo's The Reset Button, which blend romance and long-standing passion with the hottest of sex acts. Every story in this book unlocks sex play in a different way, providing personal revelations, playing out sexual fantasies, and exploring fetishes, with plenty of orgasms, pleasure, and sensual excitement. I hope you enjoy the way these characters play, and that their fun inspires some playfulness in your life. Rachel Kramer Bussell, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Until the Last Note Plays, Rilsey Adams. You nervous or something? Sage paused, with her bow hovering slightly over her cello's D-string, as she flashed a glare in the direction of the man she wanted to impale with the bow she held. Garrick fucking Allen. If anyone even had dared to suggest to Sage a few days ago that she would find herself sitting in the practice room of the first man to truly break her heart, she'd have thrown her head back and laughed so long and hard she might have choked on her mirth. Oh, the difference a few days could make. She bit back all the retorts that surged immediately to her throat and continued running through the few complicated bars of music she just couldn't seem to work her fingers around. "I didn't even know it was possible for you to struggle with music," Garrick mused. He'd risen from his bench and was leaning against the Steinway piano, which was the centerpiece of his extravagant music room, with its floor-to-ceiling windows and lush green plants and music-related art decorating the light gray walls. He folded his arms in front of his chest, biceps people wouldn't normally associate with a lauded concert pianist, straining against the simple yellow t-shirt that accentuated the hell out of his deep brown skin. Sage swallowed, trying to soothe the sudden dryness in her throat, as she once again attempted to focus on the passage of music. It was the audacity for her. Nervous. Did Garrick really believe he still had that sort of power over her after 6 damn years? The warmth blossoming between her legs pulled her up short. Power over her mind? Definitely not. Power over her heart? Maybe not. But her pussy? That was another story altogether. Her body still remembered the way those long, elegant fingers moved over her skin, with the same skill and precision they moved over piano keys. The music they pulled from her body was just as sweet. Sage found herself regretting agreeing to this for the millionth time. Sage used to say it would take nothing short of signs of biblical proportions for her to agree to share the same space, the same air supply, or, even worse, the same stage as the man who'd shown her what heartbreak was really about. She couldn't stand him, so how in sweet hell did anyone expect her to play with him? In the end, the sky didn't bleed, the ocean didn't part, and hell did not freeze over. All it took was a request and a love born out of loyalty. Because how could she say no to Emmanuel Baker? The talented, gentle giant was responsible for her success as a concert cellist. Hell, the man was responsible for the success of so many classically trained black musicians that it was hard to keep count. Emmanuel, being in his late 90s, wasn't going to live forever, and that was why in 2 months there would be a large concert put on for him. The celebration to honor his life and career was long overdue, but at least her mentor would get his flowers while he could still smell them. That Emmanuel would handpick her as the cellist he wanted to play his most popular sonata had been a pleasant surprise. She'd been awestruck, speechless, and happy as hell, until she remembered most cello sonatas were accompanied by the piano. Garrick fucking Allen. She got it. Honestly, she did. Garrick was so damn talented that it was no surprise Emmanuel chose him to accompany her. Sage just wished he hadn't. But what could she do? She couldn't spit in the face of the man who'd done so much for her. So she'd said yes. And now she was here, frustrated, flustered, and keenly aware of the insistent flutters of arousal making her brown cheeks go hot. Sage made a rude sound in her throat before placing her cello, Spot, on his side and resting the bow atop him. "I need a break," she muttered. She pushed herself up off the chair and started making her way to the door. But Garrick grabbed her elbow and pulled her toward him, pivoting his body so she ended up with her back pressed against the piano and Garrick boxing her in. Sage's nostrils flared. He still smelled the same. Her lips quivered when Garrick's familiar, spicy, citrusy cologne hit her nose and goose pimples erupted along her skin. She wanted to curl herself around him, like a cat, and inhale as she relived the memories of the nights she'd spent with her legs intertwined with his, as his heartbeat and scent soothed her to sleep. "You could run, or maybe we could just deal with this head on," Garrick suggested. His voice so damn calm, Sage had to fight the urge to slap him. It wasn't fair for him to be so unaffected when she was twisted up inside. He placed one hand on either side of her on the piano, and he was so close, so fucking close, that Sage could feel his warm breath against her face. She wanted to arch into him, drag her mouth along those full lips until she could loosen, even a little bit, the lust making her nerves so taut, she feared one touch from Garrick would shatter her. She blinked slowly and swallowed, reaching for her anger and pulling it like a cloak around her. Her body wanted Garrick, yes, but people didn't always get what they wanted. Garrick taught her that lesson. "There's nothing to deal with except you needing to move out of my fucking space," she said tightly. He pressed his mouth together into a hard line as the muscles in his strong jaw twitched. Garrick really was a sight to behold. Sage tried to stop herself from raking her gaze over him, from his fresh, low haircut to the expression etched on his gorgeous face, which seemed to be a mix of the desire she felt and something she refused to acknowledge. His hand moved to her cheek, and Sage annoyed herself by leaning into his touch before her mind could scream sense into her. She'd always been pure instinct when it came to Garrick. Desire. Need. Love. "I know you hate me," he said softly, his voice catching roughly on the words he spoke. "It nearly killed me to leave you. I hope you can understand that. But here's the thing, Sage. I'd make the same choice despite it being the hardest fucking thing I've ever had to do. Every single time." It was like he'd doused her with iced water, Sage moved away from his touch, placing both hands to his chest to push him away from her. Her hands stilled when he spoke again. "You weren't going to take the scholarship, Sage," he whispered. "I overheard you talking to your best friend on the phone. You were going to stay stateside because I'd already gotten a job here. I couldn't let you turn down an opportunity I knew would set you up for life. I love you too much for that." His brown eyes softened, but Sage had a hard time focusing on that. "I love you too much. Love, not loved." She was still trying to process what he'd said when he began to speak again. "I prefer you hating me while being one of the most sought-after cellists in the world. My heart can accept that. I can live with that." Sage's throat tightened as she tasted the truth in his words. She had been prepared to turn down a scholarship to study in the UK and Venice because he'd be in Manhattan. The deadline for acceptance had been mere hours away when he'd walked into the living room they shared and ended their relationship swiftly and matter-of-factly, like his heart was made of ice, and she'd never meant anything to him. She hadn't heard from him until 3 weeks after she'd relocated to Europe, but she iced him out as her anger and hurt became a festering wound within her. Sage didn't know how to deal with this new perspective. She was barely hanging on to her self-control as it was. She closed her eyes, and suddenly everything was too much. The way he smelled, his confession, his heart thumping hard under her palms. Sage curled her fingers into his shirt and pulled him into her, instead of pushing him away like she'd planned to. Garrick dipped his head, but stopped with his lips close enough to hers for her to feel the shadow of its kiss. "Are you sure?" he asked, his warm breath sending an eruption of lust down her spine. He was giving her an out. An out she should take. But she didn't. She just tightened her grip on his shirt and leaned toward him, sighing deeply when his mouth finally crashed against hers. Time stopped. Everything ceased to exist, save for frantically tangling tongues, his teeth nipping against her lips, and their bodies pressed so tightly together she could feel the frenzied beating of his heart. Desire scorched through her veins, reducing her to burning lust as she lifted up his shirt so she could drag her fingers along his stomach, which tightened under her touch. She craved the feel of his fingers along her bare skin, her nipples, the warm expanse of her stomach. Her stomach tightened when she thought of him thrusting those fingers into her pussy, which was wet, aching, and desperate for him. She wanted to tell him all the ways she needed him to squeeze, rub, and graze her until she throbbed and gushed. But that would mean she'd have to stop kissing him. Sage felt like she'd sooner die than do that. She ran her tongue over his, hands flying to the back of his head to pull him closer. She kissed him like her existence depended on it. She kissed him like she could find the answer to all of life's burning questions on his tongue. She kissed him until she couldn't form a coherent thought, and she couldn't do anything but feel. Feel the gentle bursts of pleasure each time his teeth dug into her lips. Feel the touch of his fingers against her hips as he started pulling down her yoga pants. Feel his hard length pressed against her thigh. Sage had no idea how long they kissed before Garrick pulled away slowly and pressed his forehead against hers. "You're the answer to all my dreams," he panted, as his hands moved the thick fall of Sage's box braids to the side. She tilted her chin to give him the access to her neck she knew he was seeking. He kissed the side of her head, her cheek, and ran his tongue along her chin before he nipped at the spot that always drove her wild. Sage bucked against him when his teeth sank into her sensitive flesh, pulling a mewling cry from her lips at the delicious bite of pleasure that shot straight to her pussy. "God, I missed you," he growled. "I missed this." His hands were under her shirt now, tugging at her bra until he was cupping her brown breasts that barely fit in his hands. He squeezed the mounds of flesh, tugging her swollen, aching nipples until she cried out. Her pussy clenched in rapid flutters as she continued soaking her panties so much, she wondered if the entire music room smelled of her need. He continued his sensuous assault on her neck and nipples until she was pushing him away, needing to get a grip on the pleasure rolling over her like a tidal wave. I'm sorry, he started to say, but she cut him off with a small chaste kiss before she went about getting rid of her clothes. She wiggled out of the yoga pants, taking her soaked panties with them, enjoying the way Garrick's eyes followed her before pausing on her bare pussy. She shivered when he licked his lips, pulling his bottom lip between his teeth while he surveyed her body. A wicked look flashed across his face, and Sage barely bit back a moan just thinking about what was to come. He was back on her before she could blink, helping her add her blouse and bra to the puddle of clothes next to the piano. His hands were all over her naked flesh, sending firebolts of pleasure through her as he touched her skin like he was trying to learn it again. Perhaps he was. She allowed him to get his fill before tilting her head, arching an eyebrow, and flicking her gaze to him. He caught on quickly, stepping back a little as he swiftly removed his shirt and black sweatpants. Her breath caught in her throat, then again as her gaze moved past the taut expanse of his mahogany chest to his dick, slightly darker than the rest of his body, swollen and tight, bobbing in front of him. Her mouth watered as she thought about swirling her tongue along the throbbing veins of his dick just before she took him into her mouth. Took him into her mouth. That was too benign of a description for what she wanted to do to Garrick. She wanted to suck him hard enough to devour him. She wanted to take him so deeply down her throat that the imprint of his dick would remain etched there forever. Her pussy throbbed wildly as she started lowering herself to the floor to do just that, but Garrick's hands came to her waist and held her in place. Not yet, he said, even though he sounded like waiting was the last thing he wanted to do. Let's play first. His lips curved into a sexy, dangerous smile. Sage was immediately hit with memories of them stretching their lust out until it was physically impossible for them to deny themselves the pleasure of each other's body, and just how soul-shattering and mind-blowing her release was when they finally came together. Okay, she whispered, needing to convince herself the reward would be worth forcing her already aching pussy to be patient. Sage walked back to her cello with her legs shaking slightly and pussy throbbing rapidly. She took a deep breath as she sank down on the chair, spreading her legs wide and angling the cello so it rested more toward her right knee. It wasn't the most comfortable position to play in, but it left Garrick with a full view of her swollen, glistening pussy as he leaned against the Steinway with his dick in his hand, lazily stroking himself from the base to the head and squeezing before he repeated the motion. His eyes stayed focused on Sage's pussy as his strokes became firmer and quicker when she put the bow to the strings and started to play. She didn't have to pay much attention to the cello, so she fixed her eyes on Garrick pleasuring himself as she began playing Young Money's Bedrock. Her pussy clenched. That song had played on a loop in the background the first time they came together, the first time she felt that thick dick he currently stroked stretching her pussy. She focused on him, eyes hooded with lust, as she easily moved through the piece. Garrick still held his dick when he began moving toward her with his rigid length leading the way. He dropped to his knees in front of her. The notes she played started the stutter as the melody became infused with an unintentional vibrato because her fingers shook so fucking much. Keep playing, he whispered, voice thick and heavy with need. Sage swallowed and forced herself to continue, as his big hand squeezed her left calf before his fingers traced a line down her inner thigh. His eyes were locked on her now, and Sage wondered if he could see the unbridled desire that made her pupils burn. Garrick, she whispered, missing a note altogether when his finger slid against the slick wetness of her slit. His lips curved into a satisfied grin. All that wetness for me? She didn't answer him. What was obvious didn't need to be explained. Besides, Sage wasn't sure she could speak even if she wanted to. Little mules of pleasure erupted from her throat when Garrick slid a thick finger inside her and began thrusting in and out until she could feel bands of pleasure tightening in her lower abdomen. She tried to continue concentrating on playing the song, which she knew as well as the simplest scale, but she couldn't focus. Not with Garrick's fingers thrusting more insistently as his thumb started pressing hard against her swollen, throbbing clit. She was tethering on the edge of control when Garrick stopped so abruptly that Sage reeled from it. Her eyes fluttered open in time to see the amused smirk on his face as he pushed himself up off his feet and moved to the back of the chair. "Play, Gigi," he whispered against her ear, causing another burst of pleasure to shoot through her as it dawned on her that her molasses-soaked limbs had stopped moving. She took a deep breath that turned into a soft cry when Garrick began kneading her breasts, tugging and twisting at her sensitive swollen nipples until she bit her lip to force herself to focus. But it was so damn hard. Her fingers kept grazing against the wrong strings. Every note sounded a little bit too sharp, and she could hardly manage to keep her bowing steady. She was barely hanging on to the cello when he sucked an earlobe into his mouth, nipping at it even as he squeezed her nipples. "Put that cello down," he whispered gruffly against her ear. "You'll have a hell of a time trying to explain to your insurance company how you damaged it." Garrick was taking the extremely expensive instrument and its bow from her and moving to place it across the room before she was able to claw her way through the heavy fog of desire to make sense of what he'd been saying. The fog had started fading when suddenly he was kneeling in front of her again, spreading her legs wider at the thighs and burying his face in her pussy. She jerked hard against him as his tongue delved between her plump folds, sucking and licking while making little contented noises that sent vibrations straight through her body. Sage's hands went to the back of Garrick's head, pulling him in as she struggled to push herself closer to those thick, full lips that were doing deliciously nasty things to her. When he pulled her clit into his mouth and sucked deeply while thrusting a finger deep inside her, Sage knew she was lost. She came with a string of expletives on her tongue and her body shaking as Garrick kept on sucking, thrusting, and licking like she owed him a debt she had yet to pay. "Please," she murmured weakly, throat tight, trying to move Garrick away from her overstimulated flesh. He flattened his tongue for one slow, sensuous swipe along her slit before he rolled back onto his heels, face glistening with her essence and a satisfied smirk on his face. Sage couldn't wait to wipe it away. But first, she needed to get her breath back. "Your turn," she said when she finally found her voice. "Go play." Garrick glanced at his dick, still bobbing in front of him even harder than it had been before, and smiled. "I don't think I could play a C major scale right now." She cocked her head to the side and laughed, relishing how powerful that comment made her feel. "Be that as it may, Mr. Allen, rules are rules." He caught her gaze and Sage's breath stuck in her throat. Garrick must know she was bluffing. He must know that if he asked her to come sit on his dick and ride it into the sunset, she'd be powerless to say no. And for a few seconds, Sage thought he would do just that. He didn't. He pushed himself to his feet and sauntered back to the piano, giving her a full view of his taut ass. She watched him sit, spreading her legs so she could massage her still-throbbing clit. Garrick should look ridiculous, sitting naked at his piano with perfect posture, as his dick bobbed in front of him. He flashed her a wolfish grin, taking note of what her fingers were doing before he began to play. And play he did. Garrick didn't choose a simple, albeit sentimental, song. He played Mozart. She sat there for a little while, getting lost in just how fucking magnificent he looked as he played the piano sonata. He was so damn talented and graceful, she almost forgot she was sitting there in a puddle of her own wetness, and the aim of this game they played was to distract the hell out of him. She let the notes wash over her for a few more seconds before she crossed the distance between them. Her mouth watered looking at his hardness, and knowing the fingers that had just drawn moans from her were making such beautiful music made her throb. She wanted to drop to her knees and angle herself just right so she could take him into her mouth, but Sage held back. She moved behind him, tracing her fingers lightly over his shoulders and down his spine, before following her fingers with her tongue, enjoying the way he stiffened under her touch. Emboldened, she leaned forward and flattened her breasts against his back as she nibbled on his earlobe, fingers gently twisting his nipples. He made a soft sound in his throat, but he didn't falter in his rendition. He continued playing, smoothly and with talented precision, until she reached forward and cupped his hard length in her palm. he faltered then, but only so slightly, before he regained his composure and continued to play. He maintained that composure even as she began to stroke him lazily. "Okay, tough guy," she teased. "Let's see what you're really made of." She smiled when she noticed his jaw tighten as she dropped to her knees and found a position that allowed her to lean forward and capture his dick in her hot, waiting mouth. "Jesus," he groaned, as she flattened her tongue and ran it across his head, licking away the small beads of precum gathered there. She moved her head back, found his eyes, and smiled. "He can't save you." And then she was sucking his dick just the way she'd wanted to, leaning forward and taking him so deep down her throat that her gag reflex kicked in out of self-preservation. But she had none. Sage only took him deeper and deeper until his playing stopped altogether. His hands fisted her braids, and the most guttural groans spilled from his mouth. She took every inch of him until her nose pressed against his neatly trimmed pubic hairs, and she was reduced to nothing but watering eyes, saliva, pre-cum dripping onto her chest, and her unquenchable desire for him. "If you don't ease up, I'm going to come," Garrick warned, fingers tightening in her braids. Sage would have chuckled if she could breathe. How could he not see that was the whole fucking point? That she wanted to feel the warm spurts of his desire against her tongue before she swallowed all of him. She sucked him harder and took him even deeper, until she could feel his entire body tense against her as he cried out, and she was finally rewarded with his release. She lapped him up greedily before finally pulling away, wiping her mouth with the back of her hand and grinning up at him. He pulled her up by her forearms, hands gripping her waist as she put a knee on either side of him on the piano's bench. He kissed her long and hard before he pulled back and said, "I need to get us condoms."
"Do you?" she asked.
He understood the question hiding behind those two words, and barely a second passed before he shook his head. "I haven't fucked anybody raw since you. The confession did things to her pussy.
And to her heart.
But Sage would deal with that later."
"Neither have I," she said breathlessly. "I haven't been with anyone in over a year."
She'd been so tired of trying to feel the things Garrick seemed to make her body feel so effortlessly that she eventually gave up. He acknowledged her response with a sharp nod, and then suddenly his dick was filling her up and stretching her out as he buried himself to the hilt inside her. Sage moaned. He paused for a few seconds, as if he was just taking it all in. Sage couldn't blame him. She was doing the same. Garrick's mouth crashed over hers in a punishing kiss as he thrust his hips upwards. She groaned against his mouth, holding onto his shoulders as she met each thrust, riding him with the frenzied motions of someone denied something they wanted, no, needed, for too long. Every single nerve ending burned as she relished the delicious feel of his rock-hard dick and the wet softness of her needy pussy. She didn't feel the orgasm coming. One minute she was sliding down his dick as he told her just how good she felt and how much he'd missed her, and the next she was done for in the best way possible. Her body contracted with so many forceful waves that Sage couldn't even cry out, especially since Garrick kept thrusting through it. He held her hips in place and she couldn't do anything but take the pleasure that kept multiplying until she thought she would pass out. She was still throbbing and gushing around Garrick when he threw his head back, let out a guttural cry, and released into her. He pressed his forehead to hers when the shivering stopped, while her body slowly came down off the wave of the orgasm. Sage could slowly feel her legs again. Her ears stopped ringing, and her vision cleared, but her heart was starting to fill with so much tenderness that she wanted to run away from it. Garrick's large hands were splayed across her hips, holding her in place as if he anticipated just that. "No more running, Sage," he whispered against her lips. "Welcome home."
The Devil Take You, Eva Lee. London, 1764.
"'Tis no use trying to convince me otherwise," I say to Lydia. "Not even a swain with the hardest cog in Christendom can alter my resolve." "But to quit England at the height of the season," my friend protests. "And for an indefinite sojourn abroad. Serena, 'tis insupportable. Think of—"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?